This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, what a weekend. What a weekend. And what a day. Knicks win on Friday against the Heat. A thrilling shot by Julius Randle. They win in double overtime in Boston against the Celtics last night. Today we find out that Derek Carr has signed with New Orleans for a contract, 4 years that averaged $37.5 million. So that eliminates him as an option for the Jets. So the Jets sit and wait and cross their fingers that Aaron Rodgers wants to play football, A, and Aaron Rodgers wants to play football for the Jets, B. And if it's not Aaron Rodgers, then it'll be interesting to see which way they pivot. Do they pivot and try to get Lamar Jackson if the Ravens put the franchise tag on him, non-exclusive? Or do they sign Jimmy Garoppolo? Or do they try to get Ryan Tannehill? Or do they go another route that we're not even expecting?
Right.
But you would assume that plan B all the time was Derek Carr. Well, he eliminated himself as plan B by taking the Saints offer. And that might be better for him because he immediately becomes the best quarterback in that division, has a chance to actually advance in the playoffs in that conference. While you join the Jets, then you run the gauntlet of Mahomes, Burrow, Herbert, Allen, on and on and on and on we go. And I hope that that's something, if that's the case why he went to New Orleans, I hope that's not something that infects the mind of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, were you surprised that the contract was so low?
A little bit, especially because everything is exploding, and if Daniel Jones is asking for 45.
Yeah, it just with the cap going up, you just would think that, unless he just loved New Orleans, but he had some leverage, right? Hey, I can sign with the Jets. Now, unless he was afraid that the Aaron Rodgers was going to go to the Jets, and then he'd have no other leverage. Although, I guess he could have had leverage from the Panthers. He did meet with them. Or maybe he's just, hey, I'm happy. I go to New Orleans. I'm happy there.
He's with a coach he knows from the Raiders.
Right, and you know what? It's still very good money. $37.5 million, $150 million over 4 years. I'm just kind of interested to know, was it the Jets saying that they weren't interested, or whether he just wasn't interested in the Jets? I would think the Jets are holding out for Aaron Rodgers, but we don't know what Rodgers is going to do.
And if he was really interested in the Jets and his nose wasn't out of joint that they were waiting on Rodgers, I think the Saints still would have been there with an offer. And his price probably goes up if he has the Saints and the Jets bidding for him. But he grabbed the Saints, and you know, he felt like $37.5 million, he could live on that, and that's where he wants his family to
live on it.
Yeah.
You could get by with it.
Now, they had a second meeting. And that second meeting was, what, Wednesday or Thursday, Peter?
It was in Indy.
I think it was Wednesday. I guess we can assume now that he signed with the Saints, did Derek Carr go back to the Jets and say, listen, this is the offer I got from New Orleans. Are you going to match or exceed it? Are you still waiting for Rodgers? What's going on? Because if you tell me you're waiting for Rodgers or you're not interested, I'm going to sign with the Saints.
Well, you know, Michael, I heard a story that's pretty embarrassing. I don't know how reliable the source is, but I heard, in fact, that the Jets are so bad as an organization, they actually met with David Carr twice. Derek never even had a conversation.
Wow. That would be bad.
Yeah, David's like, I'd love to do it. I'm 43 years old. Haven't done a thing in years.
So they don't get Carr, either one of them. And now we wait on Rodgers, who's certainly going to milk this for all he can. And that puts the Jets a little behind the eight ball if, in fact, they lost Carr and they had interest in him. But, you know, if you're going to go all in, you go all in, and you're going to wait and see exactly what Rodgers wants and where he wants to go. You know, Greeny had heard when he was at the Super Bowl, a lot of people in football said that they really believe there's a chance that Rodgers could walk away. You will color me flabbergasted if he walks away from $60 million guaranteed dollars.
I would be surprised, too, but it's not impossible.
Nope.
Is it possible that he'll decide to go back to Green Bay? And that the Packers will try to make it work for another year or two. That's also a possibility. Odds still favor the Jets, but it's not 100%. This was never a choice between Carr and Rodgers. It was a choice between Carr and the possibility of Rodgers. Now it's just a possibility of Rodgers. And now we just wait and we see. I just hope this didn't come from above. If this was a football decision from Douglas, from Woody, and from Saleh, that as much as we like Carr, we're just too tempted, too intoxicated by the chance of Rodgers, that we decided to wait. That's one thing. I get that. But if it was the football people saying a bird in the hand, we love Carr. Everything we heard from the Jets camp was that they fell in love with the guy, thought he was a surefire Hall of Famer if he signed there, that they were going to win a Super Bowl with him. And it was Woody saying, no, I want the big kahuna. That's a problem. Because he doesn't know any closer to anybody else whether they can get Rodgers. And then where do you go if you don't get Rodgers?
See, that has to be the plan, though, because they have to think that whatever their choice is after Rodgers, if Rodgers doesn't make, you know, MetLife Mr. Rodgers' neighborhood, they wow. believe that it's not a big drop-off from Carr. They believe that Garoppolo is not a big drop-off from Carr. Maybe they have a grand plan to try to get Lamar Jackson. Well, again, I know we have a radio show every day, Monday through Friday, and we have to opine on what we know or what we hear every single day. But this story has not been written yet. Just like the story of Daniel Jones is not written, if he is franchised tomorrow, then I think a lot of people will be justified in tearing into him because it probably loses them Saquon Barkley. But someone I know that's close to the situation says he heard that they're close to getting a contract done. So all of this is just posturing. Well, we'll see exactly what the Jets end up with. But if they end up with Ryan Tannehill, they are going to get criticized.
Well, and I'll tell you, I mean, even hearing you say something, maybe there's some elaborate plan to be Lamar Jackson. I mean, is there one fan in the world who would trust some sort of, quote, Jets elaborate plan?
Well,
this is sort of where history matters, no?
Well, if you want to look at the history, and if it's really Woody Johnson as a passion play, wouldn't Lamar Jackson be the pivot? He said, he was on record saying, I'm going to pay big money for a quarterback. I believe that was the quote. So you're going for Aaron Rodgers. You bypass Derek Carr. You miss out on Aaron Rodgers. So wouldn't the pivot be Lamar Jackson before Jimmy Garoppolo? Is Jimmy Garoppolo going to float anybody's boat in Jetland? Is that the big coup? Is that the big money quarterback that everybody had their eye on? So, hey, you can make the case that I'd rather have Garoppolo than Lamar just because Lamar is injury prone and he's going to cost a ton of money and you're going to have to give up 2 first-round picks. But I want it to be a football decision, not what's attractive, what's going to sell tickets, what's going to get more people in the building, what's going to put you on national television, what's going to make you more relevant compared to the other tenant in town. I want it to be a football decision, Peter.
But isn't it funny, Michael, that Don's setup makes perfect sense, but every single thing you said favors Lamar Jackson greatly over Jimmy. Every single category.
That moves the needle. Lamar Jackson moves the needle, Peter.
In every way. In like every single thing you said, he moves it in a way that Jimmy can't. So that is interesting.
Because it's all about selling it, right, Michael?
You would think.
You know, and
but
listen.
But selling goes with winning. If you make a big deal for Lamar Jackson and he gets hurt in week two, all of a sudden.
I know. That's why I probably wouldn't touch Lamar. As much as I love him as a football player, he's been hurt. You're going to have to give up 2 first-round picks, and you're going to have to give him a mega deal with guaranteed money. So if he falls on his face and gets hurt, it's going to kill you. But what moves the needle? In a season where you fell on your face with Zach Wilson, your owner says, I'm going to pay big money for a quarterback, names like Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers are floating around, and on opening day, you're going to have a big dog and pony show introducing Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, and then try to sell your fan base on this was the plan all along? That this was the guy that we were eyeballing since day one? How do you think that's going to get received?
It's going to be interesting to say the way it plays out. And, you know, obviously we're monitoring everything. Every ESPN investigation or resource that we have is certainly locked in. So we hope to find out something before anybody else. And, you know, you can listen to this station. And when we hear it, obviously we'll pass along to you.
Can you imagine, like, how quickly your guys' kids will end up wanting a Lamar Jackson jersey if he was the quarterback of the Jets?
Mm.
Those things are a factor. I got news for you. The Jimmy G jerseys ain't flying off the shelf.
This is a legit question, guys. And I don't know the answer, but I think it could be a fun question. If Aaron Rodgers decided to have a decision show the way LeBron did, Do you think it would compare?
Compare maybe, but it would be it would clearly be a level below. Only because of where he is in his career. LeBron was literally entering his prime.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think it would get a lot of attention just because you have a New York team involved. He is a pretty big name. It is football. But I agree with you. It would probably be a level below just because of where they are in their careers.
Well, but he'd do something crazy. He'd insist it be like he'd be in the nude. It would be on OnlyFans. Like there'd be a twist to it that LeBron didn't have.
Yeah, that would be a twist for sure. And the other big story, as we said at the top, the Knicks, 9 in a row. Beat the Celtics twice. This was called Rivalry Week last week. They beat the Celtics twice. They beat the Heat, one of their main rivals over the last 30 years. And they beat the Brooklyn Nets, if you want to call them a rival. And they embarrassed the Nets. And that win now looks better because the Nets came back and beat the Celtics. And then the Nets won last night in convincing fashion as well, where they seem like they're getting a little bit more comfortable. And maybe they don't drop out of the top six. And it certainly looks with those two wins, because Peter and I discussed this last week, could they drop all the way out, even to the play-in? I think they found enough of an idea of what to do that they're not dropping out of the play-in. Because I've said it over and over, they made deals that they had to make, but they didn't get ripped off. They got good players back.
Right.
And Mikal Bridges is really unleashing an offensive game that he never showed in Phoenix because he didn't have to be the scorer.
No, he's been terrific. He was terrific last night. Now, Michael, right now the Nets have a 3-game-in-the-loss column lead over Miami for the sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in pretty good shape. Despite a 4-6, 10-game span, Miami didn't take advantage of that. They went 4-6. At what point do we just say, all right, this is a different Miami team?
I think it's a different Miami team.
It's getting close, huh?
Yeah, I think you might be at that point. Yeah.
It's getting late early.
The old Miami Heat would not let the Knicks, as hot as they are, go into Miami and win that game.
And so the Knicks right now are the 5 seed, and they're just a game back of Cleveland. And they are 5 back in the loss column of Philadelphia.
By the way, I am worried that the Celtics will get creamed in Cleveland tonight and be in a little mini free fall.
Listen, I don't want to take anything away from the Knicks did, but what's going on with the Celtics? You blow a 28-point lead against the Nets. All right, you've lost twice to the Knicks. They just don't seem to be the same team, and you can't tell me what's wrong. They just threw malaise. They might blow a chance at home court the whole way.
I know. Well, that's how I felt a couple of games ago, like they were just bored. They didn't seem bored last night. They seemed very, very focused and desperate to get a win and could not beat the Knicks, could not find a way to stop IQ.
Oh, he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable. It was so much fun to watch.
So you felt good for him too, right?
Yeah, and then you're watching him like in his 50th minute on the court, and he's jumping up and down, and he's dancing after big shots, and he's moving both arms on defense. Phenomenal, just phenomenal. One other thing that worries me about the Knicks too. I mentioned the dribbling with Julius. One of the things that teams will use in the playoffs, in big spot, they're going to foul Mitchell Robinson. Can't have a guy who shoots 48%.
Yeah.
You just can't. They missed 2 big free throws and then hit 1 of 2, and the 1 was big. But you can't. You got to be better than that. You know, his field goal percentage is over 70 because everything he takes is within the paint. But if he's 15 feet away at the foul line, that's going to be something to watch. What we're now doing is not being picky and not being negative. We think so highly of this Knicks team that we're trying to think, what could go wrong? Well, Julius can dribble into trouble in a playoff game, and they're going to foul Mitchell Robinson rather than let him get a bunny in the paint and say hit 2 free throws, and he's not going to be able to do it. It's just not.
You know what I'd be curious about, Anthony? Just curious. I really have no idea the answer to this. What is the highest field goal percentage for an entire season in NBA history? My guess it's like a Wilt season or something, or
it would Shaq? It would have to be a center, right?
Has to be. I mean, you're only getting 70 because you're center. But I'm just curious how much higher it's been. The guy, I think he missed like it was 5 for 8 for yesterday, maybe. But Mitchell Robinson has the highest ever, 74 in 2019. Wow.
Because you know what, he knows what he can do. He doesn't venture far from that. The Knicks don't set up any plays for him. One thing he showed yesterday, he can dribble. And he took a ball at the foul line and dribbled through the lane and slammed it down. That was an impressive play. The Knicks are exciting. If you're a Knicks fan and you're not excited about this and you're only wondering, well, what are they going to do in the playoffs? Well, then you can't enjoy the journey. I forget what Shaw was listening to last week, who said most fans in New York can, in fact, enjoy the journey. Yankee fans don't. Because Yankee fans are always worried about what's going to happen in October,
right,
whether or not they win the championship. So Yankees won 99 games last year. Aaron Judge hit 62 home runs, a season for the ages. And everybody was concerned, well, would they get past the Astros? And they didn't. But I think every other fan base does enjoy the journey. I hope the Knicks fans are enjoying this because they just don't get to the playoffs that often in many people's lifetimes. So you have to enjoy this.
You know what's interesting? Here's the difference between the Knicks and the Yankees. All right? We get criticized for not being all ultra positive. We get criticized when we bring up the little problems. When it's the Yankees, the fans call up with the problems.
Right.
If this was a 9-game winning streak for a Knicks fan base that was like the Yankee fan base, they would point out to us before we have a chance to that Randall can't handle the ball.
Well, remember when the Yankees in the first half of the season looked like they were going to win 120 games and all of it, well, let's see what they do in the playoffs. Yankee fans over time have learned to not enjoy the journey, and that's how Derek Jeter was. His dad once told me, he said, the only thing I worry about with my son, he's not enjoying the journey of his career. All he thinks about is outcome. And that's pretty much the Yankee way and the Yankee fans' way as well. I hope the Knicks fans are enjoying this because it's been so few and far between. Because even 2 years ago, there was a fool's gold feel to it. They're playing in front of empty seats, and it just didn't, you know, it was a COVID year. This is legitimate, man. This is legitimate what they're doing. An 8-game winning streak now, a 9-game, should be 10 because they should beat Charlotte. And then I think they just finished an 18-game stretch, Peter, where 14 of the games were against teams over 500. This was the gauntlet that was going to sink them this year, and I believe they were 14-4.
Literally, you could not have possibly hoped for better.
No, for like the Bucks. Now, the Bucks went off on a 16-game winning streak, but if you told the Bucks you're going to go 14-4 every 18 games, even a championship-level team would sign up for that. So the Knicks have been an incredible run, and now their schedule actually is looked at as one of the easier schedules that remains in the NBA. So they're in a good spot. Let's talk to you about it. Let's go to Joe in New York. Joe. Joe.
Oh. All right, I hear you in the background, so that's not good.
Idiots. People don't know what they're doing. Mark in Dix Hills. Mark.
Fellas, I love it. You got to tell me, man, the Knicks fan, this is extremely exciting. Yesterday's game was up there with one of the best ever.
It was great.
Let me tell you about Randall. Fellas, if you see it, don't you think the coaching staff knows what they're doing with Randall? When he backs down and they go to steal a ball, there's got to be a reason they're letting him do that, because we've seen that enough this year that they let him do that. So there's got to be a purpose that we don't know about. Believe me. And get this, we're winning. So let's keep it going. It kills me when they take the ball away from him, but there's a reason they're letting him do it.
But what could that reason be, Mark? I can't understand what they're setting people up for the playoffs?
No, it sets into his game. That's his game. He's a muscular guy. They want guys on him. He muscles his way. He's the old – I forget the guys from the Knicks who were strong like that. He muscles his way in the middle. That's his whole game, and it sets that little jumper.
Well, if you want to do that, fine. Do it on the lower block. He should not have the ball at the top of the key because that's too much dribbling and there's guards out there. And their hands are too quick. And you saw it with Boston. And you saw it with Miami. Jimmy Butler almost stole the ball twice before he hit that great shot. Yeah, I think that what you're saying has some validity. They know it's an issue, but they don't want to take away his aggressiveness. But that's going to cost them a game. Going to cost them a big game. Almost cost them two. Almost cost them Miami. Almost cost them last night. Just did. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy Bayo.
Hey, oh, there Jimmy. He is.
My guys, Mr. K.
How are you?
My boy, DL. Don't call me Yuli. I miss you guys.
What's up, baby?
All right, lots going on, guys. Listen, first thing, it took me a month to recover from the ALCS. I didn't call through football season. I was at the game Friday night behind Brian Cashman. I was right behind the home plate. Harrison had a nice double. his first pitch. I'm worried about DJ. I was watching the bats pretty closely, Michael. I got to tell you, they're saying he's 100%. If you watch the game, that flare to right, which is usually a classic DJ hit, was hung up and just a floater. I'm watching his back foot. I'm worried about that. Gerrit Cole was awesome. He was unhittable. I was right behind home plate. I drive down to the Atlanta Stadium, which is a beautiful stadium, Michael. I absolutely love the stadium. It's brand new, gorgeous. Rodon gets shelled.
That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, if you can't look at results in spring training, Jimmy.
Right.
Also, the guy is going to throw 96, 97. He was throwing 91 to 93. They don't want him to throw hard yet. So, no, there's no concern about Rodon at all.
Are we happy that Cole was unhittable on Friday, though?
Well, I mean, it's certainly fine, but if he gave up three home runs, I mean, that wouldn't matter. I mean, you can't look at spring training statistics. You just can't, because if the Yankees are pitching at home, right, if Cole is pitching at Steinbrenner Field, he's facing a lineup that has maybe two stars in it that a team brought over from wherever they are. Now, it's more telling when you pitch on the road like Rodon is,
right,
because I think he faced an Atlanta lineup that had most of the regulars in. Really, you just take it as like a grain of salt.
No, but
closer to the beginning of the season, then you think
it's still early enough, Mike. We're still, 5 weeks away? Or was it? How many? Well, three.
Still March 30th.
March 30th. So, yeah, we're still significantly away from the start of the season. Guys could be working on things. Maybe just decided to work on his fastball or work on his curveball. Winning is not the most important thing to these guys. It's just getting ready. And you bring up a good point, Michael, because I saw that kind of trended last night. I guess John Miller went off on the Diamondbacks PR department because they didn't supply him with information because they traveled like nobody, and they didn't give him any information. He didn't know anybody on the Diamondbacks.
Happens all the time.
And he flipped out on their PR, not giving him any information. But that's who they faced. So their starting pitcher, whoever it was, could have struck out 10 guys. What does it matter if they're all like single-A guys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the bottom line is spring training, some people put a lot of import to it. Sometimes the team with the worst record in spring training has the best record during the regular season. So don't worry about it. Really, don't worry about it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, a little bit of bad news for the Mets. Jose Quintana, one of their free agent signings, 2 years, $26 million, a really good pitcher.
Right.
He was supposed to go to the WBC, then he felt something on his left side. Mike Puma, the Post, revealing that Quintana now has a small stress fracture on the fifth rib on the left side. According to the Mets, he will travel to New York for further test. Not what you want.
No. But keeps him out of the WBC, which would make you happy.
Yep.
He didn't further irritate it, and we're still a good almost a month away from his first appearance, so hopefully they can get it resolved.
Some bad news for the Yankees. Tommy Kahnle has biceps tendonitis. He had it in 2018, according to Brian Hoke of MLB.com. He attempted to pitch through it, wound up getting sent to the minors. He thinks it'll take about a month to clear up, so he will not start the season with the Yankees, one of their free agent signings during the offseason. There you have it. There you have it. Now you can have KISS tickets. KISS is playing two shows at Madison Square Garden on December 1st and 2nd. Be caller number 28 right now at 888-987-ESPN, and you'll score a pair of tickets brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets go on sale Friday, March 10th at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com.
What's your favorite KISS song?
Beth.
Okay.
Yeah. What's yours?
I got a Bummy Strutter, which I performed at the Beach Bash. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites. Deuce.
A song you take very personally.
I enjoy it.
You should. You're allowed.
They're good. It's just the better live.
I found that...
But you don't want to see them on December 1st and 2nd with me.
First of all, I don't know where I'm going to be in December. It could be a Ranger game.
Well, let's say you're free. And the suite's open. You don't want to sit with me?
Yeah. All right, I'll go. I'm in. There's so much can happen between now and December 1st
and
2nd. Because... Peter, you were saying?
I was saying that your take earlier was the most surprising non-Don take I've ever heard.
What's that?
Don't yell at me, okay? Sometimes you think I'm attacking you. I'm not. But earlier, Michael, tell me if you feel me on this. I asked him, I said I was surprised that he liked KISS and not Guns N' Roses.
Right.
He then went on to explain, basically, that he really likes Guns N' Roses music, but essentially finds them annoying and sort of lazy, or they get in trouble. And then KISS, who he had positive things to say about, sounds like he can take or leave the music.
No.
But since they care so much about making money, at least they put out music all the time.
It almost sounds like a K-tank.
See, that's what I'm saying. It sounds like they should be your
group. Know what you're going to get. They're a hard-working band. They never disappoint their fans. They give everything they can in their live shows, is what you ask for. And yeah, they're corporate. And are they most talented musicians? No. Paul Stanley doesn't have the greatest voice. Gene Simmons isn't the greatest bass player. Peter Criss wasn't the greatest drummer.
I mean, besides that, Mrs.
But they came with effort. They rocked the house, and that's what metal and rock and hard rock is supposed to be. Not albums on occasion, and then getting addicted to drugs, not being able to finish shows, disappointing your fans constantly, and having no substance whatsoever. You know what? Don't claim you have substance, making me wait 5 years for an album. KISS, they sang about two things, and one of them is something I can't mention, but it's what all boys growing up care about, and they love the fact that there was a band that cared about it as much as they did.
You're still like almost backing up this argument. I just wouldn't expect you to have.
See, why are you making him yell? Because the sputum is flying over the computer right in my face.
Did you make up the word sputum
today? No, go look it up.
You're the only one that uses it.
Russell Brand used it on Real Time on Friday.
I caught new rules. How did he do? I didn't catch the whole show.
He's an interesting dude. I never knew that was his take on things, but he's interesting. He's certainly educated on all the things he's talking about. He's not talking out of his ear.
Okay.
Let's go to Aaron in the car. Aaron.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, company. Good afternoon, guys. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, man.
I'm doing great. I love you too, Don. Don't worry. I'm with you in lockstep about KISS over Guns N' Roses, by the way.
Just a quick tidbit.
My dad is a huge KISS fan. I actually got in trouble for taking one of the action figures out of the packaging when I was a kid.
Can't do that to your dad.
No, okay. My dad's a good man. He doesn't deserve that. But on the Knicks, I'm having so much fun watching this team. I mean, this doesn't feel like the fool's gold that was 2 years ago. You know, they have a competent point guard now. They're playing better as a unit. Manuel Quickley is more than just the streaky scorer that he was a couple years ago. He can actually see the court better. I think he's a better player overall. I'm really enjoying watching this team. And Peter, as far as your Celtics are concerned, that Marcus Smart, I got to tell you, man, he's first of all, I hope you feel better soon. But your boy Marcus Smart super annoying guy. I mean, with his whining to the referees and his constant flopping, he annoys me so much that I actually got enjoyment out of Julius Randle delivering a well-executed low blow. My question to you guys, who delivered the better low blow? Julius Randle with the kick to Marcus Smart or Peter to R-Truth to win the 24/7 title?
Come on.
Wow.
You don't know what's
also, I mean, you say Marcus Smart complains. Julius Randle complains on every call. And then got teed up yesterday, which was ridiculous. Marcus Smart is a great defender.
Wouldn't you guys both say Marcus is the definition of a player you complain about if he's not on your team and you do anything to have him?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy that I think is such a special sort of player that if somebody was really smart, they would curate an album and put him on there.
Yes.
Well, no. I think they'd at least name a song after him.
Yeah. Mike Trezza from Lindenhurst won the KISS tickets.
Nice.
Peter, you're falling under a lot of criticism around the globe that you weren't enamored with the Chris Rock special, which I did watch live. And if you want to have exercise, Don, try to watch the Chris Rock special live and keep your 8 and 10-year-olds out of the living room. Because, I mean, so many
it's filth,
F-bombs like you wouldn't believe. But I mean, it's not for them. But, you know, parents do want to watch it. I know I was looking forward to it. And Charlie had to go. He was in another room, had to go to the bathroom and cross through the room. And Jody, like, put her hands over his ears and ran him through. But you're getting a lot of hate, Pete.
Yeah, no one seems to be on the same page with me. Don, it was sort of like me and your argument with Michael the other day.
Okay.
It almost mirrored it in the sense that my feeling was just that Chris Rock has the right to do whatever he wants, okay? Respond however you want to respond. But I didn't leave the special feeling like that he was happy. He seemed angry. He seemed still really upset.
Well, I think he was really angry because he messed up the last joke.
Well, that probably didn't make it better. And I, you know, listen, bottom line is Will Smith did a terrible thing, but it's been a year. And I thought, you know, Don, the wrestling fan in me, thought there was a chance they would make up on
stage. Yeah, I thought that too.
I was like, what if he brings out Will Smith and instead of continuing this stupid fight, he uplifts him and is like, hey, I know you were going through something. I forgive you. And everyone thinks, again, and Don, this sort of goes back to what we argued about last week. Everyone thinks I am a wuss because I suggested the idea that instead of going lower, you maybe find a way to go another way.
Well, I'm not necessarily in lockstep with you, but I don't totally disagree either. Here's the way I look at it.
Okay.
What he did on Saturday, right, which was go as low as you could go, and I don't blame him because I would have been ticked off as well. He could have done that the day after.
Correct.
I thought that after a year, he's going to come up with something really clever.
There you go.
And cut Will Smith down to size in a clever, ingenious way. Instead, I don't blame him for ranting at him. That's not an ounce of me that's saying that. But you could have done that the day after the Oscars because there was nothing ingenious about it. Instead, he took a year, and everybody was waiting for that, you know, that unbelievable, you know, 1-2 to the side of Will Smith's head. He didn't do it. He just took out a ball peen hammer and smashed Will Smith on the knee. And he had every right to do that, but it shouldn't have taken a year to do that. You know what I'm saying?
So, number one, I think that, I mean, we had a caller this morning on Hot who I thought kind of spoke to something interesting, which is basically it's too late. Like, the moment happened. I think Chris is really upset that he didn't react in the moment.
Right.
You know, like, he said, oh, I didn't do that because I was raised better. That's not what happened. Mm-hmm. You were completely shocked. Yeah. I get it. I don't knock you for it. But you've spent the entire year thinking, I wish I manned up and fought him back. And then you didn't. And so, to your point, Michael, you wait a whole entire year. Now, granted, you might have wanted to see a more thoughtful, clever beatdown.
Yeah.
I just went the other way and thought maybe he won't go that direction at all. He'll completely surprise everyone. And what we got is what you would have expected in, like, an angry social media post the next day.
Right. And you know, he was on the road the entire year performing and could have, again, I just thought something nuanced and funny and clever was going to really rip Will Smith down the side. And Will Smith deserves the retribution. But instead, he came out angry, which he has every right to be. I just didn't think that had to be a year in the making, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear you.
When you're that brilliant, you expect more.
Yeah, he is brilliant. He's a brilliant
so
stand-up.
So how did he mess up the last joke?
He literally, he was making a joke about one movie with Will Smith. And he
used the wrong movie.
Yeah, two movies were in the joke, and he swapped the movies. And by getting the movies wrong, it ruins the joke.
Right, he literally had to start say over. Concussion. Like, his wife was mad. Jada Smith was wrong, mad that he didn't get nominated for Concussion. Mm-hmm. And she intimated, more than intimated, that Chris Rock, who was hosting the Oscars that year, should have quit in protest that Will Smith didn't get nominated. But he used the film Emancipation, which was the killer of the joke, that he used to be a big Will Smith fan. But now when he watches Emancipation, he's rooting for the masser to really whip Will Smith more.
And he just completely reversed.
He completely reversed it. And because it was live and couldn't be edited out, he came out and said, I just messed that joke up. And like kind of, but you can see at the end, he was really angry at that, I would think.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I don't know if it was that. Part of me thinks he was angry about everything. And the fact of the matter is, again, this is an opportunity for all the, you know, all the people who don't like to puff up their chest big to call me a wuss. I think he's probably also angry because it doesn't really feel good to lash out at people like that.
Oh, but I think it feels good.
First of all, you're full of it. I've been around you when you lash out at people. You've never seen that happy afterwards.
No, I am happy. I wanted to lash out at somebody on Friday, and you talked me out of it. I would have felt and as I was the rest of the night, I kept saying, I should have done that. I shouldn't have listened to him. And I would have been happier if I had lashed out at this lowlife that deserved to be lashed out at. But I didn't. I took your advice. So I don't agree with you. I think lashing out is cleansing.
Don, you hear me, don't you?
I hear you. Now, what was the circumstances? This was live.
Yes, now, totally live.
And he had never performed this material before.
He had performed it, but to small groups because he didn't want it to leak out.
Okay.
Which it did, though.
I don't know if a lot of people know, and I saw this in the Richard Pryor documentary. His comeback after he burned himself was Richard Pryor live on the Sunset Strip. Mm-hmm. He bombed the night before. So the next night, he came in and he charges the stage. You could see on his face, he's so mad at what happened the night before and killed the next night. And that's what they used for the movie.
Wow.
So maybe that could, look, Chris Rock, if he had the ability, right? Because Richard Pryor bombed the night before.
Right. But this, maybe if the... A friend of mine has seen it twice. I don't know if they edited it out.
Okay.
Oh, in replay?
Yeah, I don't know if they, because, it, you know, you could stream it from now on Netflix, but the beauty of that was to see it live. You know, you want to see it live before anybody else could ruin it for you on social media. So I definitely watched it.
DJ Juanito says that Chris Rock did 80% of those jokes at Radio City back in October.
But not the Will Smith stuff.
I don't think the Will Smith stuff. I think he only added that in the last couple of weeks.
Some of the stuff was rough. Especially his stuff on abortion. That was really rough. It was like startling to hear.
He's an edgy comic, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he really
always
makes
him great.
He always has been.
Yeah. He's one of the best.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Ice picks. Now time for today's ice pick, driven by Nissan. Well, a little parlay. Not a great selection of games tonight. A lot of minuses. So I'm going to go with the Ottawa Senators continue their 5-game winning streak in Chicago against the Blackhawks. So let's go with the Senators on the money line. Parlay that with the over in Buffalo between the Sabres and the Oilers. Both teams scoring a ton of goals lately. The over-under is at 7, and that's at plus 127, parlaying the over in Buffalo between the Sabres and the Oilers and the Ottawa Senators on the money line in Chicago. And that's the ice pick driven by Nissan. Hurry into your Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Get a killer deal on your local Nissan at your local Nissan store or NissanUSA.com today. Clock's ticking. Catch these offers while you can.
Now, before we take your phone calls, go back to your phone calls, I would like to invite you all to the bar at Moynihan Train Hall.
Oh, yeah.
On Friday, this Friday, March 10th, before the semifinal round of the Big East Tournament, which could be a great semifinal round. Why am I inviting you there? Well, we're going to do the show live from there. So stop by before heading into the Garden or before your commute home and enter for a chance to win tickets to the championship game. The Michael Kay Show live from the bar at Moynihan Train Hall starting at 3 p.m. on March 10th. Just steps away from Madison Square Garden and Penn Station. It is brought to you by our very good friends at Jack Daniels, Sam Adams, and Truly Hard Seltzer. How about that? How about that? One note.
What's that?
If you are, in fact, enjoying the show on Yes, if you want to consume the final half hour of the show, you're going to have to do it on the radio.
That's right.
Because Ray-ro. At 6:30, Yes is leaving us because it's the Yankees and the Pirates, an exhibition game from Steinbrenner Field.
Well, they think that's more important.
With Ryan Rucco and Jack Curry and Meredith Marakovich calling all the action.
Wow, Ryan got down there quick at the big game last night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding? The Yankees, he probably walked.
That's a great point.
On shards of glass is what you're saying?
You said that. I didn't. I just said he walked.
AJ in Brooklyn, AJ.
On snowshoes.
How you guys doing? First time caller. A little bit nervous here.
No, never. Don't be nervous.
So I wanted to bring up Julius Randle. I think your take on his turnover is a lazy take because, I know he does that. He turns over the ball about 2.8 times a game, and you compare that to somebody like Draymond Green, Randle, the ball at the same time he does. He turns it over 3.2, but there's so many other positives that Randle's bringing into this season that we don't talk about, like, you know, where he came from last year, which was hellish. He's grown. He's matured. One of the things that you saw was when he got the technical with Smart. Last year, he would have gotten two technicals. He would have been out of the game. Instead, he kept his composure, stayed in the game. One of the possessions at the end, he played Jason Tatum, made him give up the ball, you know, stayed in front of him. Where the other two possessions, when I think it was Josh Hart, Tatum got around him easy for two layups.
I hear what you're saying, and you know, you're giving a number of how many turnovers. I don't care how many turnovers the guy has. I care when they occur. He almost gave the game away against Miami. He almost gave the game away against Boston.
I agree, but that's what I'm saying. He almost gave it away, but he didn't. He kept his composure, got the ball up, and made the game-winning play. But all we want to do is talk about fumbling and bumbling for the guy. I mean, he kept his composure and made the winning shot.
You honestly don't get nervous.
So you don't get nervous.
You truly don't get nervous.
You don't get nervous at all.
Are you sure? I'm sorry, but you know, I hope I'm not shouting. But I'm saying
no. You don't get. We're asking you when he has the ball and he's dribbling with his back to the basket. You are not nervous.
He's not nervous.
No. AJ, slow down. You get nervous when he's dribbling the ball with his back to the basket in an important part of the game?
100%.
All right, thank you. No more questions. That's all we're saying.
You're witness counselor.
That's all we're saying. And we're being picky because we're looking for them to take the next level. I'm saying that this is going to be exposed in a postseason game.
And don't give me how many times Draymond Green turns the ball over. How many times do the Warriors have Draymond Green take the game-winning shot?
Right, he doesn't have to score.
Right, so
he's their fourth option to score.
We're talking about a guy that's a major option for them down the stretch. And listen, that was a great way he was able to regain his composure and hit the game-winning shot against Miami. But you want to take that chance in a big spot in the playoffs and hope that he's able to hit it again? Hope so, but he just admitted he's nervous. That's all we're pointing out.
You're watching, and I thought Don said it really well between coughs earlier. Going into the game, if they lose the game, they lose the game. Yeah, they didn't have Jalen Brunson. But then in the overtime, you would have been crushed if they lost that game.
Yeah, you were.
You didn't want them to lose it that way. I mean, they played with such heart and such energy and such – they refused to quit. And to have him dribbling like that two times in a row – and I'm telling you, before he regained his composure against Miami, he gave them the lead because he turned the ball over. Do you forget that? And then Jimmy Butler just swung and missed at the ball on the ground. Otherwise, that would have been a turnover. He would not have hit the shot. We're just trying for them to be great. That's it. So much?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.